to be sure that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ experiences unity. Not unity at the cost of truth, but unity in the exercise of truth. It pleased them. And they chose these: Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas. And after they'd done that, they set them before the apostles. And the apostles prayed and laid their hands on them. The laying on of the hands. In this setting, in the book of Acts, the apostles were empowered, not like magicians, but the Lord anointed their labors. They were eyewitnesses of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the apostles were empowered with an empowerment that you and I may not have today. For example, when people would bring the handkerchiefs to Paul the apostle, if he simply touched the handkerchief, they could lay it on somebody and healing would take place. That is a New Testament reality that was there to put an exclamation point upon the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in laying on of hands, they were demonstrating that the Holy Spirit would be sent upon these men. They would be not only Spirit-filled, but men filled with the Spirit continually, imbued with power and wisdom to carry out this task, to take care of the temporal issues of the church. When we have a laying on of hands in a few moments, it is not signifying that we believe somehow in us power goes forth from us to them. What we will be doing is symbolizing that these men are men described, full of the Holy Spirit, and what we're doing is pronouncing a blessing upon them, expressing our desire to see the Lord bless them and bless their labors, assuring them of our love for them and thankfulness to God for them that He has set them aside. So they laid their hands on them. And this is the procedure here. But verse 7, every time I read it, it fires me up. I cry out to God, "Oh God, do that. Hear, we pray." What was the result? Well, it was not that the apostles were distracted and did not, and their preaching of the word was diminished. Notice this, and the word of God continued to increase. Remember now, the apostles were not the only ones preaching. We're going to read a little later in Acts that when the persecution came as the result of Stephen's stoning to death, that what followed was that the disciples were scattered. And they who were scattered by persecution, recorded in Acts, went everywhere, kerusoing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. But here there's this token of God. The word of God continued to increase. What does it mean the word of God continued to increase? Do you think it means that the apostles showed themselves to be really brilliant teachers and the people began to understand it and know a whole lot more than they'd known about Scripture? Well, those two things may have been true, but that's not what he's talking about here. When the word of God increases, that means it shapes and transforms the lives of the people hearing the word of God. It means that it advances. It goes beyond even the collection of people who heard Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. The word of God increased. How do I know that? Is it? And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Now, folks, I would have been thrilled to read, and the number of the disciples was added. That's not what you think. Multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. There was a great gospel advance. The Lord saying to those folks, "I affirm what you have done. I want to show you how I treasure the way that you treasure my church and you treasure my son enough to do the right thing to protect the unity of the church." I'm going to tell you something. We don't have this here. We've had it in the past. You don't have it here now. When deacons cause disunity, they are assaulting the heart of God. You want deacons who are first of all sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and who love the ministry I'm going to move heaven and earth to protect it from division. God blessed their labor. They multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And then this is one of the most astounding things. And a great many of the priests, we're talking about Jewish priests, some members of the Sanhedrin, all men raised to protect Yahweh as God and to mark out Jesus as a blasphemer. A great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Every time we come to a time like this, and we've done this a few times through the years that I've been here, I thank God for the men he sets aside. And you did this, by the way. You set this in motion. You said to the pastoral ministries team, take a look at these men. And so that was done through interviews. And we come back to you with some of those that you selected. You would know that some told us, now's not the right time. So, I have every confidence that the day will come when it will be the right time. And we'll be back doing this again. But the Lord blesses this when we pursue him to see his glory magnified in the congregation, to see his gospel exalted and advanced. He blesses that. And my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer, is that as a result of this time today, not only will we be keenly aware of the Lord's blessing in our lives, giving us two more biblical deacons, but that we will see the gospel advance. And as days unfold, you'll see people come to faith in Christ. Because I promise you, the church in Jerusalem probably had not carved out a niche for the priests, Jewish priests, to be members. Any more than when Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, sought to join himself to the disciples after he was saved. At first they said, we're not sure about this. And he had to get Barnabas to come and say, look, this is the real deal. I know what you've heard of him. But the Lord has saved this man. And so I pray, and I hope that you will pray, that the Lord will add to the number, that the gospel will increase and advance, and that we will see in the days to come the Lord bring people savingly to Christ, that we will go, well, that's truly amazing. I'm going to ask at this time that our deacons come and sit on the second row and our two deacon candidates come and sit on the first pew, and ask Jason if he would come to pray over this time of ordination.